The Jayhawk lead is 4 with 7.5 seconds to go. Into Adrian. Down the left sideline. West tries a 3, blocked by Mitch. Rebound goes to Frank. And the win goes to Kansas.
Wow.
Rock, chalk it up. A comeback for the ages here tonight in the fog.
It's a remarkable game. They outplayed us for 38 minutes, but we were so good the last 2 minutes. And with a makeshift lineup out there, with everybody fouling out, and somehow the guys just hung in there. I think it's the most remarkable win I've ever been a part of. We've had some great ones here, but we never come from 14 down with 2.5 left and against the ninth-rate team in the country.
Bill Self, head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, after the win against West Virginia earlier this week, coming back from 14 down with under three to play in the ball game. And before that, you heard the final call from the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, who joins us now, as he always does every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a call, 738-5701. Well, have you come down from the clouds? Have you recovered from the adrenaline rush of that comeback the other night, Brian?
You know, I don't think I've stayed out that late on a Monday in quite some time. But there was just so much excitement running through your veins, you couldn't go home and sleep. So it was a fun night, and one that we'll certainly be talking about for years upon years. I can remember being in high school back, I want to say, 95, when they came all the way back to beat UCLA after being down by 18 or 19. And yet that took a whole half. To do this in 2:43 is just unlike anything you could have fathomed. And yet, how surprised are we really in a building where they seemingly always, not always, but seemingly, find a way to get it done. And so a pretty special night that I think Jayhawk fans will cherish, right up there with the last game versus Mizzou,
yep.
You know, right up there with West Virginia a couple years ago, and the triple overtime Oklahoma game last year. It wasn't a comeback like that necessarily, but it was one that you'll be talking about and saying you were there, even if you weren't.
It was an incredible comeback, and you and I have both seen many of those. You just referred to most of the ones that I thought of the other night, and when I looked at the clock, and it was just under 3 minutes to go, and they're down 14, and that's when a few fans left early, not a lot, just a few, and TV made a big deal out of that. But I was thinking, all they need here, they just need to get a 3. Just get a bucket. If they can get a 3 here in the next few seconds, that's going to put a little bit of pressure on West Virginia. I thought they still could come back. I really did. I know a lot of people saying, and they've told me, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I've seen this script before, and I know 3 minutes to go, that seems pretty unlikely and impossible. But with KU, Bill Self, I think, is the best coach in America at stretching out basketball games. We've seen it in the tournament, Northern Iowa 1 year, where they could have been blown out, lost by double digits. They battle back, full court pressure, get back into the ball game. He does a great job of extending games. But when they made that second, I think it was a second three there, 64-58, I was like, it's on now. And then when Graham made that step back three, when he kind of did a little wheel route back behind the 3-point line and cut it to 2, I turned and I said, it's over. I know they're down 2 with 25 seconds to go. This thing's over. West Virginia's shell-shocked, and quite honestly, they collapsed with the crowd. Bill Self said was just amazing. That helped them get going too, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Obviously, that was the same night they set the new Guinness Book of World Records decibel mark of 130.4, and that crowd, you know, you could just feel West Virginia wilting under the pressure. And obviously, the Kansas defensive effort with Landon Lucas guarding the inline was suffocating too. But when the crowd is on you like that, you know, little problems become major, and one becomes two, and things really start to snowball on you. And you know, the guy that was struggling to get the ball in and the guy that ultimately had it bounce off his knee and roll out of bounds with 13 seconds left is kind of the final straw that broke the camel's back is Nathan Adrian, who's played in the eighth most games in West Virginia Mountaineer history and is one of their better, more trusted players as a senior out of Morgantown. And I think he'd be the first to admit, you know, the magnitude of the moment and the atmosphere that he was playing within certainly got to him. But, credit to Kansas fans. Credit, you know, that veteran-led team that just wouldn't give up. Devontae Graham had not had a great game until the last 3 minutes. You know, 14 of his 18 points came from that, 2:30 mark on. And he was sensational. You know, Frank Mason had not had a great game. The final shooting numbers still don't look like a great game, except for the fact that, oh, yeah, by the way, he hit 16 of 18 free throws. On a team that at times this year has struggled from the stripe and leaving the door open, he made sure they slammed it shut. and I think you tip your cap to Frank, who obviously back on Saturday was fighting through the flu and hasn't been healthy for the last week, but should be as we get set to venture down to Waco. So credit to those guys. Atlanta's defense was awesome on the inbound, and they were doing things that they really hadn't practiced in a month, and doing them with personnel like Mitch Lightfoot in the game they hadn't practiced at all. But that was what the situation dictated, and boy, oh boy, did they make the most of it.
Yeah, they certainly did, and it was a quite the change in the Big 12, because Baylor had already lost earlier tonight to Texas Tech. West Virginia looked like they were going to win. The race was going to tighten. West Virginia would be within a game. They would have swept Kansas. Baylor back a game, but they'd get Kansas and Waco coming up this weekend. And that comeback, for me, I know there's games to play, but for me, that wrapped up at least a share of a 13th straight conference title. And you go to Baylor, you've got some house money here. You lose that game, you're still going to be up a game in the Big 12. It'll be interesting to see how West Virginia responds after that really, really difficult loss. But to me, that was why KU wins the conference championship every single year. There are the challengers, and they step up for a while, but for the course of the whole season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And a lot of these teams run out of gas or can't finish games that they're supposed to finish. They have a trip up against somebody they should beat, whether it's home or on the road, and KU rarely has that happen to them. And they have closers. I look at K-State, lots of close losses this year. The difference between K-State and KU to me, talent level, yeah, certainly KU's got an advantage there, but KU has guys that can close, and a lot of teams in this conference don't.
9-2 now in games decided by 6 points or less. Bill Self would tell you, having played in 11 of those at this juncture of the season is too many, maybe 11 by the end of the year. But the fact that they've won 9 of those 11, you love that closing element that you just spoke to. And the fact that you've got three guys with the alpha dog, killer instinct mentality, that they will embrace the moment, ask for the ball, and more times than not, thrive with it in those moments, says a lot. Because if Frank's in foul trouble or sick like he was on Saturday, Josh Jackson can give you 31, step up and carry you. If Josh and Frank are both struggling on a given night, maybe it's Devontae's turn to be that guy. I think that's what's really encouraging. You've seen that on other teams at other schools before, but then sometimes there's that, well, who's going to get the ball question. We know Frank's going to get the ball, and Josh and Devontae are okay with that. But they're also ready on any given day to step up and be that alpha dog if it's called upon to do so. And that's what I love, the unselfishness on this team, that you've got a myriad of options in that crunch time, close game situation that can take you to the promised land, but nobody fighting over who it should be, who wants the spotlight on that particular night, because everybody is happy so long as you get the win collectively as a team. And that's the type of mentality that Bill Self instilled within his guys in 2008, when his quote was, hey, we win this thing, the pie is big enough for everybody to get a huge slice. He was right. Six guys got drafted. And I think that's what we're looking at with this Kansas team. You've got all these guys that could be the hero on any given night, and yet nobody has to. They're more than happy to defer so long as the team ultimately comes out on top.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks with us, brought to you every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Now, after you have a whole bunch of difficult games and you win most of those, the exception, of course, would be the Iowa State game at home, you go in the Baylor, and I've heard Devontae Graham already say, yeah, we realize we have a little bit of cushion now. The natural thing to happen is you go in the Waco, Baylor's hungry, they're ticked off, not playing very well. They know they have the only chance they have of getting a share of this title or maybe somehow still winning it. They have to win at home, protect their home court against Kansas. Kansas had a little bit more rest now since they played on Monday than they have recently. Is there any chance that KU goes in this game? And yeah, I'm not saying necessarily a letdown, but they just don't bring the same intensity and energy to this game in Waco? Or is it the other side of it where they go, this is it, man. Let's go ahead. We've got them knocked down. They're on the canvas, and let's deliver the knockout blow.
Yeah, I was going to use a boxing analogy, too. I think they're kind of wobbling back to their corner right now, and this is where you deliver that roundhouse blow and you finish them. And obviously, it wouldn't officially be finished, but I think you laid it out pretty good earlier, and Coach Self wouldn't want us to talk like that. Up 2 with 5 to go, you said you feel they've clinched at least a share, but I think a lot of Kansas fans would agree with you. It's hard to imagine KU losing more than 2 games in the last 5, given the home games they have left and you know, one of the road trips being Austin. But then again, in a league this good, we shouldn't take anything for granted. I understand where you're coming from, though, and I think that if you could beat Baylor and go up three games with four left, you'd really be in tall cotton.
Yeah.
And so this is your opportunity to try and wrap it up with 2 weeks to go. Not officially, but for all intents and purposes, barring some kind of major collapse. And so I think they sense that. I think they want that. And I think based on what you just said, Wade, the fact that had they not won Monday and this thing would have become a three-team race with one game separating them, they realize it can get back to that one-game margin just like that if you don't bring it on Saturday. So why extend this thing out any longer than it needs to? You've got a chance to put your foot on the throat. I think the intensity will be great. I think the effort will be off the charts. They should be more rested after the Monday to Saturday turnaround as opposed to Saturday to Monday. I think if they lose, it won't be because of a lack of effort or anything. It's going to be because Baylor's really good, and their length and their defensive prowess is really imposing. And that was a five-point game the first time around. Kansas really had to scratch and claw to get the win within. So if they lose, I don't think it'll be for anything other than the fact that Baylor is a top-five team in the country. But I definitely understand where you're coming from. You could sense a natural letdown spot, but not when you're this close, not when you've got a chance to really deliver that knockout punch. And hopefully we'll see that down at the Farrell Center on Saturday.
One of our KU fans that are listening, he texted me. He wanted to ask you this question. It's shifting gears a little bit, but as we know, Frank Mason is a senior on this team, and there will be a spot in the lineup next year in Devontae Graham. Whether or not he comes back for his senior campaign, we don't know that yet. There's a big announcement set for down in Oklahoma for five-star point guard Trey Young. It sounds like, according to reports, that he's deciding between Kansas and Oklahoma. Can you comment or say anything about that situation?
I wish I could, but working for the university, I can't talk about any unsigned athletes. And so I probably shouldn't say anything more than, obviously, there's a lot of talk about that up here, and hopefully things will work out as they should. But I can't talk about specifics. Clearly, if you look at the guys they have signed in Preston and Garrett, there's definitely a need for another ball-handling talent of some sort. And with just two guys in the fold right now and the possibility of losing many more than the two scholarship seniors that you've got, since obviously Josh Jackson projects to be a top three NBA pick, they're going to want to add at least one more guy. And so whenever that happens and from whoever that comes, that commitment, you know, obviously that they're hopeful to get a guy that can handle the rock, because to lose Frank for sure and Josh, who's one of the best ball-handling bigger players, and I don't want to call him a big guy, but he's 6'8". He has handles for a guy that size I'm not sure Bill Self's had. Think about some of the one-on-one plays you've seen the last few weeks where he's taken it the full 94 feet, crossing over through his legs, all that. You know, and Marcus Garrett's going to bring some of that, but I mean, you could potentially lose all your primary ball handlers. So I can speak about team needs and that kind of thing, but I can't talk about specifics, and I apologize. I'm not avoiding the question. Certainly there's anticipation there. And once whoever, you know, fills that void has inked the letter of intent, we'll come on here and we'll talk all about it. But certainly a lot of excitement to see who Bill Self gets next, because he's obviously one of the best recruiters in the country.
Absolutely. All right, time for off-the-wall question. You ready, Brian?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I had a first last week. I was able to interview my first ever mascot. KC Wolf, the mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to be here for Men's and Boys Rally on March the 6th. And I had a chance to interview the man that plays the role of KC Wolf, Dan Mears, and it was a very interesting interview. So my off-the-wall question for you is, who is your favorite mascot, but not, it can't be Texas Tech, it can't be KU. It's got to be a mascot that you have not worked for that school or university. What is your, or who is your favorite mascot out there?
That's a great question. I love that. And when you said you did an interview, I thought, wait a minute. I hope this was a video interview, because mascots aren't supposed to be able to talk, so there'd be a lot of head nodding,
yes,
and head shaking. But
yes,
you were talking to the man behind the costume. And for folks that don't know, I mean, there is mascot standards and rules and decorum that you must live by. You can never be caught changing, putting the head on or whatever for the sake of a kid possibly seeing,
yeah,
you know, the whole changing process. And so, boy, you have to swear, you know, on the holy book and all that to make sure you abide by certain mascot rules. So it's definitely something that they take very seriously if you're lucky enough to don Big J or Baby J or whoever. You referenced Texas Tech. When I was there, Raider Red actually won the Capital One mascot challenge of the year or whatever. He was a national champion mascot, and so folks down there had their guns up. I'll tell you what, there's some fairly creepy ones out there. the tree from Stanford.
Yes,
he has like some googly eyes. He looks kind of creepy. I think Benny from Nebraska, who like deflates and inflates in a hurry. He's kind of got that like weird Chucky like doll that could come alive look in his eyes.
Yes,
it kind of spooks me. So neither of those guys would be my favorite. I'm going to have to really do some thinking on this. I might have to give you a better answer next week when I've considered all the options, because we just see the ones in the league so often. And, you know, guys like Pistol Pete and Willie the Wildcat, we'll give them their props, but they probably wouldn't be my favorites overall. What would you say is your number one?
Well, since I'm not working for the University of Kansas, I like the Jayhawk. That's pretty cool. But you know, the most unique one is the, oh, goodness, well, it's Concordia College in Minnesota, the Corn Cobbers. Have you seen that mascot? It's a corn cob head or whatever. It's the mascot's
really?
A corn cob. Yeah, you need to look it up. It's a very creepy mascot. Very creepy, you know, very scary.
I will say this for West Virginia. They first came into the league. Of course, they have a real live human being as the Mountaineer Man, and he's got a musket and all of that. I was so envious of him because he was down in Dallas, and you know, for the media days, they bring in cheerleaders and mascots and all of that. And here's this strapping young guy with this big woolly beard, and he's just blanketed with 10 of the more talented cheerleaders in the league, we'll put it that way, and he's passing out deer jerky from the mountains of Morgantown and West Virginia,
like
and he's got all these girls just literally eating out of the palm of his hand between the musket and the deer jerky and the beard and all that, and I'm thinking, man, these other mascots are not even allowed to talk, and this guy is working some major game. I was impressed. So maybe, I don't know if he's my favorite, but I'm envious of the Mountaineer mascot because that guy, he certainly is doing well.
I will, after our interview, I will shoot you a text with a picture of the corn cobber mascot, and you're going to have to tell me what you think about this guy because it's flat out creepy. Did you know there is a mascot Hall of Fame?
Is there?
Yes.
Where is it located?
Oh, goodness. He told me. Casey Wolf told me. It was Whiting, Indiana, I think is what he said. Whiting, Indiana.
Wow.
And he's actually in. He was inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame just a few years ago. So who knew?
That's a big deal. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I don't know. He said they don't give speeches.
Would that be the best induction ceremony ever? In 10 minutes.
It'd be quick, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll look forward to your answer to that question a little bit more in detail next week. I want to say right now, somebody told me the other day before I let you go, is they said you have the best job in the world, which I don't think you'll disagree, but this is why they said you have the best job in the world. You have been so spoiled this year. You get a game winner against Duke at Madison Square Garden. You get to go over to Hawaii, great game against Indiana. You get a Rupp Arena, great game. They beat Kentucky. Of course, two great games against K-State. An overtime game against Iowa State. A free throw with 2.8 seconds to go against Texas Tech. And I'm probably leaving out a few of these games that have been close. And then, of course, the amazing comeback the other night. Do you ever go back and go to your apartment or house and just sit here and go shaking your head going, are you serious? What a first year, man.
It has been. It's been a pinch me. Gosh, I'm blessed. First year for sure. And the only thing that was inaccurate on what you just said was I didn't get to go to Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
You
had football.
Hawaii.
That's right.
But that was a loss. But we had football the next day, and so all I really missed out on was getting a better tan and some time on the beaches. But otherwise, it has been unreal. And you know, regardless of how the team success goes, to be at your alma mater working with people you love and respect makes me the luckiest guy I know. But this year going the way it has, getting to cover student athletes that, like Frank Mason, could be having a National Player of the Year season, just got named a finalist for the Senior Class Award. We could have the number one or number two pick in the draft, and we could have, you know, the Coach of the Year and all that. I mean, it's incredible. And to get to tell the stories of these guys has been one of the greatest thrills of my life, and hopefully this is just the beginning of a lot of great years getting to do that. But part of that means getting to come on shows like this one across the state and rejoice in all these great moments and relive them a few days later. So I certainly count that amongst my blessings as well. Wade, thanks again, buddy, and thanks for being flexible with the timing today. Really appreciate it.
We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Bud.
Take care. That's right. That's Brown Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. And, of course, Brian's appearance is brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.